it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday,
all wake right. up, everything's all Let's bring right. it down. Let's bring it down. Woo-wee. Who's ready for a Weird Wednesday? I am ready. Welcome, friends, to another Weird Wednesday. I am really glad that you're here and ticking along with me. I am super, super tired of being sick, my friends. I have been battling an illness for about a week now, and it's been getting worse. My son had walking pneumonia about 2 weeks ago. My daughter has probably walking pneumonia now, so I wonder if I have the early stages of walking pneumonia. So bear with me as we get through today. Now, I just got a text message from a guest that I'm going to be recording with today. I have two interviews scheduled for later today, and they asked if I was going to be connecting with them in about 20 minutes. That is a negative. So if that guest is watching right now, I am with the people, and I will be with you in a few hours. 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time is when I have my first guest of the day, but today at 10:30 Eastern Time, we are live with the people here on YouTube, Facebook, X, Instagram, Rumble. Wherever you follow the confessionals, you can follow this live. If you're watching, great, thank you. If you're listening, you got to catch us live. If you're listening to this right now, it's probably because you're on the podcast feed, listening to it on a Friday. If you want to watch this live or watch it on video, go subscribe to the YouTube channel and join in on the party happening over there, friends. We're having a great time on YouTube. Channel's growing. I think we're now past 114,000. So we're ticking along. My goal is to break 500 million subscribers in the next week or two. So any help that I can get would be very much appreciated. Now, today, I want to talk about time travel. And it's going to be an interesting type show. So we are, okay, I got to turn off my phone here or else I'm going to get distracted. I was actually at a school function for my son earlier this morning, and I was dying in there. And so trying to wake up here. So we have time travel on the docket today. And we are going to be talking about the TikTok time travelers. And then in the second part of the show, we're going to interview Troy Anderson, who is the author of the new book that was just released yesterday titled The Trump Code. And he talks about the idea that Donald Trump is possibly a time traveler because of the situations that unfolded nearly 100 years ago in his family involving Nikola Tesla. So I thought it'd be a great interview to do today, since we have today the TikTok time travelers. Now, if you guys listening and watching wherever you are, give us a thumbs up if you have been awake for a few hours at least in the chat, because I need some encouragement, because right now I'm feeling a little dozy. I'm not a big fan of TikTok in the sense that I'm not a big fan of most social media. I feel like there's something about social media that's going to bite me in the butt one day. And TikTok is the most recent one, I'd say, that has been in the news feeds where, you know, trust has been, you know, a little lacking on my end. Mainly because of ownership and things like that. But we see Facebook, and they own Instagram and X, and what else am I missing? Any of these social media platforms, they're all owned privately. And, you know, we've seen the issues over the years. And what I find interesting is how over the years, they always seem to want to crack down on what you're allowed to say and what you're not allowed to say. Disinformation. Things that's not true. We have to fact check it. You know, it's been a big push over the last, 7-8 years where you're not allowed to think for yourself. They're going to tell you how to think and what to believe. And it's for your own good. It's for your own good. And it's only towards what they actually want to protect you from, though, right? What they want to keep you from knowing. Because, my Lord, are there a lot of TikTok time travelers. You know, if they're cracking down on what's true and what's not true, you'd think they would be a little more sensitive with some of the things that are being spewed on social media. It just shows you that they are one-sided, how they don't care what you think and believe as long as it's not going to harm their agenda. We're not going to go down too much more conspiracy road. Where would you go if you would have one opportunity to travel through time? Where would you go? You could go in the past. You could go in the future. If you could go anywhere in time once, where would you go? And also, let's put this in there as well. Not only can you go there, but your actions will not disrupt the timeline. So it doesn't matter what you do when you're there, it will not disrupt the timeline. So the idea of going back in time and stopping baby Hitler from advancing in life is not an option, because your actions won't affect the timeline. But also, it means that if you want to, you could go into the future and meet your future self, and your actions won't affect the timeline. So you're going to not change time, but just to observe a time in history. Where would that be for you? I want to hear from you guys today. Please hit the link in the description of YouTube video, Rumble, and on Facebook. I would like to hear from you. Where would you go if you could just travel anywhere in time and figure out what was actually going on there at that moment? We have some people flooding in here. We have Samuel says, pyramid construction for sure. Pyramid construction for sure. Wendy says, Jesus is time. So here we go. We have Miranda popping in here. Let's bring Miranda on. Miranda, how are you? I think you need to unmute your mic, Miranda. There we go.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. Where would you go in time if you could go anywhere in time?
Gosh. I never really thought about that.
Really? I thought everybody thought about that at some point in their life. You know, it's just one of those things where, you know, like even if you're having a bad day and you wish you could just go back into the morning and fix that day. You know, everybody thinks about time travel at some point. You know, you've seen Back to the Future, and you've seen all these different TV shows and movies. You know, one of the people in the chat here just said Paranormal 411 says Atlantis. Where would you go? Oh. Future. Past.
You know, I would just really like to be where Jesus was. That, I mean, that's the only thing I can think of is, you know, that time when he was there. Because I didn't think, would I have done that? Would I have rejected Jesus like they did? That's about it.
Well, there you go. I know there's several people saying Jesus' time. And just to let people know in the chat, I don't know who Goo is, but I saw them spamming, so I just put them in timeout. So hopefully that sorts things out for you guys there. But yeah, a lot of people would say Jesus' time. You know, I think about it, a lot of different time periods that I'd want to go back to or go forward to. And it's one of those things where it's hard for me to actually pick. So I'm the kind of person that when I'm standing in front of a vending machine, I resemble a person who spent about 10 years in prison because I can't make a decision. So I'm just standing there staring at a vending machine filled with a bunch of good stuff, and I just can't make my mind up. And so,
you're going to go to McDonald's and you know what's on the menu, but you still take 10 minutes to decide.
Yes, yes. I'll be in the drive-thru and I'll be asking my entire family, hey guys, what do you guys want? Right. And I get the whole order. And then when it gets to me and I tell them the order and it gets to me, I'm like, and I'll be like, same way we're at Chick-fil-A. I'll be like, I'll get the chicken strips meal large with a bottle of water. Nah, you know what? Give me number two. I want a deluxe. Yeah, make number two deluxe. A deluxe chicken, spicy chicken sandwich. That's what I want. So yeah, it's hard for me to make my decision as well. But if I had to make one decision, I really think I would want to go back in time to the moment that the angels fell from heaven, because I really want to see what that actually looked like. Like was it a lightning strike that came down and they just appeared on top of the mountain? Was it some kind of beam that shot from the sky? Did they just appear? Did a portal open up? You know, like, what were their next actions when it came to, you know, okay, we're here now. Where are we going? You know, and all of a sudden they start seeing the human women or something. I don't know. Like, I would really like to see that moment in time of what that was like. And because that we know was such a defining moment in human history, you know? So
I have a question about that. So we have the third of the angels that fell with Satan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, so to me, when the 200 decided to disobey and, you know, go take the women for themselves, would that not be considered like a second incursion?
I think there was probably multiple incursions.
That's where I'm.
I tend to lean towards the idea, like, I don't think anybody really has an idea of how it actually happened again after the flood, but I lean towards that idea that there was probably a second incursion. But then I also go towards the idea that, you know, maybe they jumped through a portal and lived in another dimension for a while, hung out there, because I feel like we got another one here. I need some moderators to be popping in on my live here. Jack brought on some moderators. We need some moderators to just to take care of this chat, because my goodness, it's going crazy. Anyways, yeah. So I think that there's probably multiple incursions, and I'd like to go and see about what that all looked like in the timeline of things. So, yeah. Miranda, I appreciate you hopping on and giving me your thoughts and stuff. Were you here last week?
I spoke to you. I was on my way to work.
That's what I remember Miranda, and that's why I figured I wanted to ask. So, I appreciate you hopping in here. I'm going to keep it moving.
Oh, quick question.
Yes.
One of the things I can't stop thinking about is Adam and Eve, you know, how they procreated. I mean, was that incestuous? I mean, sorry.
No, I don't think so.
I mean, because, you know, come to populate the earth and it was just them two. One of the weird things people think about how they would travel back in time.
Yeah.
That's crazy stuff I think about.
No, I don't think it would be incestuous. I think it would be incestuous if Eve was Adam's daughter, but Eve was just from Adam, So created for him. Let's put it that way.
Right.
Created for him. So, well, you're making me think a little. I'm still trying to brush off the NyQuil, and you're making me think about incestuous things. So I appreciate you.
Appreciate you.
All right. Thank you. So interesting stuff. So let's get to the time travel aspect of things here. And I see people saying, make me a mod. I can't make you a mod from my end of things. I'm not on YouTube right now. I'm on a different streaming server. I'm on StreamYard. So I can't make you a mod while we are in StreamYard. So there's that. So let me pull up on my other computer here. We have some things to share with y'all. And I'm going to do that here in a second. Let me just pull this up. All right. Share. That working? Yes. Okay. So the first, I want to talk about, I want to kind of look into three different time traveler scenarios that kind of popped off on TikTok. And this first one, I think, was probably the most famous of the ones that I have found, because this first one here, I mean, this guy really did a good job with how he put this out. But I do believe this is fake, and I'm pretty sure I have the proof of how this was fake. But let me just break this down for you. This guy is in, I believe, Spain, and what he has been doing is making these videos all over the country in Spain, where he is saying that he's trapped in 2027, and he is making social media posts and showing how everything is empty. He's going into these stadiums where all the jerseys are. He's going into dealerships and just taking cars. So like somebody had challenged him at one point to go into a Mercedes dealership and steal a car. And so he did that. And so it really got people like, how the heck is he doing this? Or is it real? And he had a strong following for a while that, you know, this was the real deal. Like this guy was a legit time traveler, and he was going back in time, or he was in from the future, and somehow posting what he's seeing on his social media. It had people going berserk, and it wasn't until somebody had, I guess, identified who he was, and it turns out that he's a film director, and this whole thing was a project for him on showing the future of social media and things like that. So his name's Javier. He's got 9.6 million followers on TikTok. And he was, probably the most famous time traveler on TikTok. Unfortunately, friends, I believe he was a fraud. I wish he was the real deal, but I don't think he is. Now, this next one I want to spend some time on, and this fella here is very, very interesting, because as far as I've been able to see and as far as my knowledge goes, he is really hasn't been disproved as his story goes being fake. Now, I just realized that I'm not sharing the proper screen. So let me share the proper screen here, and then we'll get cracking on this one. Share screen. There we go. So this guy's name is Alec, and his story is that he owns an Airbnb and he has a Ring camera, and his Ring camera captures a man coming onto his property, seemingly to break in. And this guy scopes out the property, and instead of going into the house, he goes into the shed in the backyard. And when he goes into the shed in the backyard, he never comes out. And so he calls the police and has the police come out to investigate. They go into the back shed, and the man's not there. It's just gone. And so let's hear from Alec and this story.
This dude's coming onto my property to what looks like rob my house, but it actually turns out he is a time traveler. Let me show you that. I literally can't even make this up. Like, if I wanted to make this up, it blows my mind. This just happened yesterday. So as you can see, he's wandering around my backyard. I don't know what he's trying to do. Now he's like thinking like where to go. And he actually ends up going into my shed. So you can see he opens it, goes into the shed. So I'm fast forwarding the time. So you can see there's no movement. He never leaves the shed. And I'm talking on the camera. I'm like, yo, what are you doing? Why are you in my shed? Ever answers. He never leaves the shed. I literally was watching it the whole time. So I end up calling the police. You could see in the last one, the police coming through the front yard. And then here's the police coming into the backyard. And you can see they literally go inside. They go inside and I'm talking to them. Then they go inside again. Like they're inside there. And they come out and he's not there. And like I've been watching this backdoor camera the whole entire time and he never left. I really watched the camera the whole time. He never left. Police didn't see him in there. And like it blows my mind. Like I don't know if there's a tunnel in my shed in the backyard. I don't know if he teleported. I don't know where this guy went or why he went in that shed. Let me know what you think because I'm like perplexed, flabbergasted. This dude's coming on to.
So that was the first video he posted. It has 3 million views. And before that video, he was posting just, I think, business tips or something like that. Easy way to get wholesale deals. So he was doing more business type stuff, which makes sense if he's Airbnb and stuff. He's a business owner. He's an entrepreneur. So then all of a sudden, his whole timeline on his TikTok changes and it shifts to this narrative. Now, it looks like when you go up to more of this other stuff here, it looks like he's kind of moved past the whole narrative of the time traveler. He's kind of gone into some other things, but it seems like this was the launching pad for him in his TikTok presence. Now, what's interesting about this is, like you saw in the video, that he called the police show up, and they don't see anybody in the shed. And he even mentions about how he doesn't know if there's a hole in the shed, that the guy went down, you know, into a tunnel or what. He doesn't know. But in future videos, he starts doing things where he'll release the entire video of the police coming in. And so to show people that these were real police. And he was trying his best to show that at least he is being authentic, whether this is an authentic situation or not. Now, I'm not saying that this is 100% a time traveler or a weird situation outside of somebody faking something, but I have not been able to figure out how he's doing this. And I remember when this first started popping off, I was like, this is interesting. And as far as I know, I haven't been able to find anybody disproving this. And I've scoured TikTok last night looking for time travelers, and there's plenty of people out there claiming to be time travelers on TikTok. There's one guy out there trying to be a time traveler on TikTok. And, you know, listen, like he's doing a fantastic job when it comes to garnering attention, because he does it in a way where people almost feel like they're being insulted by their intelligence is being insulted. So they have to make response videos, which gives him more traction. And that's the whole thing that he's doing. So there's a lot of people faking to be time travelers to get attention for their social media, like that guy. There's people faking to be time travelers trying to really trick people to that they're time travelers, and it's been disproved, whether it's the first guy, Javier, or another guy that I'm going to talk about next. But this guy here, I found the most fascinating because I have not been able to find where this is actually fake, and it progresses past this. So he talks about showing the police camera, or the camera of the police coming on, and his interaction with the police. He kept the video going. He interacted with the police through the Ring camera because he doesn't live in the town that his Airbnb is. Now, as he goes through this, I will find, I believe, is it this one? This one. No. I'm trying to find the video here. It's probably this one. Let's try this one.
travelers that came to my house. This guy and this guy is actually me. People are saying the cops are fake and actors. So I'm
doing.
I will be putting a camera in the shed. I have an update regarding the time traveler that went into my shed and disappeared. And this is going to blow a lot of people's minds. And if you're still denying that this is real at this point, this is going to change your mind. So just a quick recap. This guy walks around my backyard, goes to my shed, opens the door, goes inside and disappears. All the cops came, they went in the shed twice. He wasn't in there. They looked, I looked like an insane guy. The cops were like, what is this guy smoking? And you can see he never came back until the next day, right here. Notification on my camera that there's somebody in my backyard and this guy leaves my shed. And he looks right at the camera too. That guy left my shed. But here's the craziest part. This looks like the same guy, maybe glasses, whatever. Let's look at the other guy. This was the other guy. He noticeably aged. Looks like the same guy, but aged. So him again, and now him. Same facial features, whiter hair. So I don't even know what to think at this point. Somebody explain this. He literally left the same shed. You saw the camera I put before. There was no movement that whole night. Then the next day, this guy leaves the shed, looks right at the camera like he knows, and he looks noticeably older. I don't know. Something's going on. Somebody explain what's going on in my shed. I'll be going there in about a week to give a tour, since a lot of people are asking. But yeah, it's crazy. Like, I don't even know what to think. Did he time travel? Is this a different person? Who is this new guy? Is it the same guy? Let me know what you think, because this blew my mind. We have an update regarding the time traveler.
So that's the second part of this story that I find interesting. Now, I'm sure there's ways to fake it. Of course there's ways to fake it. But I haven't been able to find other people presenting how he faked it. And he hasn't come out saying that it's fake. And it's rather convincing when you add the extra elements of this whole thing where there's a guy walking in into the shed one day, and then the next day another guy walks out of the shed in different clothing but looks like the guy who walked in and clearly aged. And on top of that you have the police presence there. I guess you could hire, you know, off-duty cops to play the prank, or maybe have people dressed up as cops. But this is what I find this very interesting. It's a fun little story on TikTok about this Airbnb owner who apparently has a time traveling shed. This is like Bill and Ted's Adventure, only a shed. Anybody remember Bill and Ted's Adventure? I didn't even think about that till just now. Bill and Ted's Adventure. Excellent adventure, I think it was, right? They travel through time in a phone booth. Kids who were probably 25 and younger, phone booths were where they had phones on the street and you had to call somebody from that. You didn't have cell phones. So what a awesome movie series. I think they had three movies from Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventures. I think it was three. But anyways, this is that version in 2024. It's not a phone booth, but it is a shed. It is a shed. And in other videos, which we won't go through all of them here, he actually goes to the shed. He walks you into the shed. He shows you what's in there. He has a washer and dryer in there that don't work. He has just some trash in there, you know, like bottles and stuff. He shows how the walls are solid, and he pushes on the walls, saying that, you know, the walls aren't, you know, popping out and that somebody's, you know, crawling out and then crawling in kind of thing. But I think that definitely can be faked. What we need is for him to, because when he was pushing on the walls, it was kind of light. Like, I was like, come on, bro, push on it. But he wasn't actually pushing on it. And so there is that aspect where I think it definitely could be where one of the wall boards are loose and you can climb out the back where the camera's not shooting. And then that same guy dresses up in old man looking makeup or whatever. And the next day, pop that board out, crawl in, and then walk out of the shed. The only thing I would say, with that is this guy is an entrepreneur. And as an entrepreneur, you're very concerned about your business. And would you risk your money-making property by calling the police? Because that's a big no-no. You call the police and they show up when you're just pulling pranks. It just makes you wonder if he'd be willing to risk it, you know? Are you willing to risk it, son? Maybe. But when you watch these videos, it does not seem like he is that type of person. And the only thing I would say is I catch him saying a lot like, this is proof that I'm not, that this is real or something like that. He kind of says that a lot. And that sounds almost like somebody trying too hard to, you know, portray this image that this is all real, this is all authentic. But at the same time, if he's not used to the attention on his social media, he's probably reading a lot of comments, which I learned a long time ago. Stay away from the comments section. And so if he's reading a lot of the comments and people are saying he's faking, maybe he feels like he has to say, you know, I'm not faking. Here's why. This is proof why. But nevertheless, I think of all the time traveling people on TikTok that I've come across, this is the one that I found most interesting, fascinating. And then there's this one other guy. His name is Noah. And I'm not going to spend a ton of time on Noah's story, but let me share the screen with you anyways. Here we go. So this is Noah. He's a time traveler from 2030, and he claims to have met himself from 2070. And I listen, I find this interesting. This is what I do late at night when I can't fall asleep. I watch stupid things that just make me think about things as a what if factor. Noah had been out on TikTok and different platforms saying that he is a time traveler from 2030. And he came back to help the world prevent certain things from happening. It had a 10 out of 10 of all signs pointing to somebody who is just in their own bag trying to play this game of a time traveler. And I remember seeing Noah and the whole time traveler thing, and I wasn't buying it. And he went on and did lie detector tests, which I found really interesting, because when he did the lie detector test, he actually passed the lie detector tests. But I think there's definitely ways to pass lie detector tests. I think one of the ways is what, to put a thumbtack in your shoe and then push down on the thumbtack every time you feel the pain and you have a question asked, you have to push down that thumbtack and it distracts your brain from the question that you're trying to answer. So there's Noah. But then Noah introduces a new character. And that new character is Noah from 2070. And in this video, which I don't know if I can play this video because it is a YouTube video, but in this video, Noah never shows his face, by the way. So Noah is always blurred out and he doesn't show his face. He, from what I understand, will show let you hear his voice though. And in this video, there's a third party here who is interviewing Noah of 2030 and Noah of 2070 in today. And Noah from 2030 says that Noah from 2070 had approached him and said, "Hi, I'm Noah from the future." And Noah of 2030 believed him. And so this 12 and a half minute video is a short little interview of the two Noahs sitting on the couch together talking. And if I looked at this Noah from 2070, there's a couple things I would say. One, man, I gotta lay off the processed foods, because Noah from 2030 is probably about, or 2070 is probably about twice the size, if not more, than Noah from 2030. So apparently, health food is not a thing in the future. Healthy eating, we have failed. We're over here banning plastic straws and trying to get the whole world to eat grasshoppers and stop eating cows. Apparently it hasn't worked because Noah from 2070 is at least twice the size of Noah from 2030. Also, with their faces blurred out, you can't see their faces. But just by looking at what I'm seeing, Noah from 2070 does not look like a man who is probably aged more than Noah from 2030. They kind of look like probably around the same age, to be honest with you. At least the hair color is the same. I mean, I don't know. I know not everybody goes gray or white. Maybe he dyes it. But the way he's dressed and stuff looks like it's his friend from down the street to me. But what's funny is that these guys went on doing all these different predictions and stuff. And there were people who were just eating it up, hook, line, and sinker. They just so bad wanted time travel to be real that they were gonna believe the Noahs. Now, time travel can be real. In fact, moving into the future is something that is possible. It is possible. If you're going the speed of light or faster than the speed of light, you will age. I'm not going to break it all. I'm not going to break all the science down right now. I do know the science, and it's very complex. You don't want me breaking it down right now. You won't understand it. But it is possible to move forward in time and technically time travel, according to Einstein's theories. Going back in time, I think there are theoretical ways to do it, but it's much more complex. But the gist of it is, from what I understand, my simple understanding is, if you can go the speed of light or faster than the speed of light, you technically can time travel because you will go faster than time. So if you have a twin and you go, one goes the speed of light and one stays here and they come back, you could actually have a time, like a noticeable age difference between the two twins. Now, my question is, how can we harness this, right? So do we need to figure out a technology, you know, like some of these movies show, you know, the phone booth? Do we need to have a technology that, you know, we push a button and it spins around in a circle real fast, and all of a sudden we're zapped into another timeline that we have set the device in our machine to take us to? Or is there another way to do it, where could we create a machine or a vehicle, I suppose? Is there a way for us to harness light, the speed of light, as the engine to move us? Is that the NyQuil talking? I think that might be the NyQuil talking. That doesn't make any sense, I don't think. But I'm going to try to say it one more time. Could the speed of light be harnessed as the actual engine that moves us? That is the speed of light. Okay, it's the NyQuil talking. Okay, so I'm trying here, guys. I'm trying. But these are some of the TikTok time travelers. And, you know, I think that time travel is probably definitely possible going forward in time. Going backwards in time, I would lean, if you cornered me and said, choose yes or no, I'd say yes. I just don't know if it actually is ever going to be something that people pull off. But then when you talk about the alien aspect of things, people, you know, believe that aliens are our future selves from the future coming back to warn us and just love on us and just hold us tightly and say, it's going to be okay. You're going to survive, but you're going to look ugly and you're not going to grow very tall. So lots of different things to think about when it comes to this time travel stuff. It's a very popular thing on social media, and I can almost guarantee you sometime within the next year, there'll be another time traveler that pops off on one of these platforms, probably TikTok. And they're going to get a big following because they're going to, you know, create a convincing story. But I don't know. Would, if you were an actual time traveler, would you actually, where would you go? Like, what's the mission involved here if you're a time traveler? Are you going to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook to share your message with the world? I'm from 2070 and I'm going to go back in time and I'm going to find the most. I mean, maybe. I don't know. But TikTok time travelers, interesting stuff. Now, today we're going to do the second half of the show here. And this is a different format than what we have traditionally done with Wake Up Wednesdays, weird Wednesday wake ups. And we are going to have an interview for you guys that I just conducted yesterday with an author who just came out with a book yesterday. His name is Troy Anderson. And the book that we are discussing that he just came out with yesterday is The Trump Code. And I find this whole conspiracy theory very interesting. We talked about it very briefly years ago on the show, The Confessionals, when it first started coming out. But we're gonna have Troy on here in a second to talk about this book, kind of going into this stuff. And to kind of give you guys a brief summary of what this is, if you don't know, there is an author from the 1800s, Ingersoll Lockwood, who wrote some books, one of them being Baron Trump's Marvelous Adventures, I think it was called. And the whole idea is that there's this character, a boy named Baron Trump. There's a character named Don, who I think was like a king, and his castle was on the same street corner in New York City that Trump Tower is on today. And there's a lot of similarities. And it came out, I would say 2017-ish, that maybe Trump is a time traveler. Maybe that's why he acts so confident with what he says and what he does, because he already knows the outcome. And how could Trump be a time traveler? Well, it turns out Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, was the person who went through Nikola Tesla's research after he passed away. And Nikola Tesla had talked about, you know, his research and the idea of time travel and the death ray. And the thought is that Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, confiscated that research, kept it for himself, and kept it in the family. And here we are almost 100 years later or so, and we have Donald Trump, the time traveler. So let's get to this interview with Troy Anderson for the second half of today's show. Oh, and Samuel Lofton, thank you very much for the super chat. Tony, you're the bomb. We love you. Thank you, Samuel. We appreciate you. Super chats are always welcome. Super chats are always welcome. I will, they pop up on my screen here and in a different color. So they pop out to my eyes there. So thank you, Samuel Lofton, for the super chat. And let's get to this interview with Troy Anderson. All right. Today we have Troy Anderson, author of the new book, The Trump Code. How are you, Troy?
Oh, I'm great. It's great to meet you.
Oh, it's good to meet you. So the book drops today, right? On September 17th, they have recorded.
This came out today. It's been a number one hot new release several times.
That's awesome. That is great. So I was about to start telling you, I figured I'd record just to get this going. I've heard about you throughout the years, some of the different books that you've done. And most recently, I heard an interview with you on at Ground Zero with Clyde Lewis a couple months ago. And right around that time, your PR people reached out to us. And I was like, yeah, totally want to talk to this guy. So I'm really glad that you're here. And the idea behind the book, it seems like the book has a lot of different concepts that are going into it. But one of the headliner ideas that pops out to me a lot, and I remember hearing about this years ago, is this time travel aspect to the Trump name and Nikola Tesla and things like that. So maybe for to start things off, a 30,000 foot view above and stuff, what was the motivation behind the book?
Well, I mean, it really all started with this interview I did with Billy Graham back in 2013. I wrote a 7-part series for WorldNet Daily. And he told me this story. He said, when God sent the prophet Jonah to Nineveh to warn the judgment, the king and the people repented. He believed the same thing could happen again, this time in America. So I was so inspired by that interview. Paul McGuire and I, my first co-author, we wrote a book called The Babylon Code. And it's an expose of globalism, exploration of mystery Babylon in the book of Revelation. And his pastor, he was so inspired by it, he delivered a whole box of the Babylon codes to President Trump in early 2016. And then he announced that Americanism, not globalism, would be our credo as his platform for president. And then he got elected, and, you know, bombshell election. Nobody thought he would win. And then our literary agent asked us to write a second book. Why don't you write a book called Trumpocalypse? There was all these headlines like the New York Times and stuff like that. Is this the Trumpocalypse? So we wrote Trumpocalypse, and we, you know, inspired by Billy Graham, we called for this National Day of Repentance. We had had one since Abraham Lincoln. And the event actually happened, this big event on the National Mall. 250 million people showed up, 42 million people watched this. And then on April 8th of this year, we had the great North American eclipse. And it went through all these towns called Nineveh. So I wrote a story for Charisma. Is this our Nineveh moment? And then Charisma got a hold of me. So, Troy, why don't you write another book about President Trump, the Trump codes? That's sort of the background behind the book.
Wow, that's wild. It's wild how all that comes together. So especially since the Babylon code was delivered to Trump in 2016. And at that point in time, I'm assuming, were you even thinking about any of this stuff when it comes to the Trump name and time travel and things like that? Have you heard of Ingersoll Lockwood at this point?
I hadn't heard about this until Charisma got a hold of me and said there's sort of some articles, and I think it was Newsweek and the Daily Mail and Politico over the last, you know, like 8 years talking about the Baron Trump collection. And so, you know, it turns out there's this novelist. He's a lawyer. He lived in the late 1800s, Ingersoll Lockwood. And he actually had a government appointment from Abraham Lincoln as consul general to Hanover, Germany. And so this is sort of the time of the popularity of the Alice in Wonderland books and those fantasy books. And so he wrote the Baron Trump collection. It's registered at the Library of Congress. And the drawing on the cover of the book shows this little boy, and he looks strikingly like, you know, President Trump's son, Baron. And his name is Baron Trump. And he lives in Castle Trump. And he's guided by the master of all masters, Don, and they go on time traveling adventures. And so it's a sort of these fun, you know, children's time traveling adventure novels. And that's you know, the sort of beginning of this.
So, I mean, what do you make of it? I mean, like, so I'm sitting over here, and, you know, for the last, I don't know, 8 years or however long it's been, it's probably more like 7 years that I've known about these books and stuff. You know, you sit here and you think about these things, and like, you try to make sense of mathematically, what are the odds of a fictional book being written that has such striking similarities to the very current situations we're going through today? Do you think that this is just coincidence, or do you think there was some kind of, whether it's prophetic or just raw science time travel from Nikola Tesla? We can get into that too as well. But what are your thoughts on your gut feeling of this book? Do you think there's something behind it, or do you think it's just literally just a coincidence?
I'm a descendant of Friedrich von Schiller. He's the poet that wrote Ode Joy that Beethoven set to music in the Ninth Symphony. He wrote some famous plays. In fact, Abraham Lincoln quoted him in his campaign for president back in the 1800s. And African-American abolitionist Frederick Douglass called him the poet of freedom and the prophet of liberty. And so my favorite quote from him is, there's no such thing as chance, and even the merest accident springs from the deepest source of destiny. And the Bible talks about this, that, you know, God guides our steps. You know, he has a plan for our lives from the foundations of the world. So nothing really happens by pure chance. I mean, we all have free will, but, you know, I believe that, you know, God sort of somehow mind-bogglingly sort of oversees the whole chaos of human, you know, history. And so it certainly seems like more than a coincidence. I mean, the last book in the series is called The Last President. And in this book, this populist president is elected. And it says the anarchists and the socialists converge on Trump Castle on Fifth Avenue, New York City, where Trump Tower now stands. Remember, this was written in the 1890s, and they're chanting death to the rich man. And this president, he had an agricultural secretary named Pence. And, you know, there's just a whole, all kinds of sort of saying that sort of, you know, parallel what's happened in the last, you know, 8 years or so. So, yeah, it does seem like more than coincidence. You know, if you think about George Orwell's 1984, doesn't that seem sort of prophetic in nature, where, you know, Big Brother, Orwellian state, we're watching it happen now? or, you know, we read Ray Bradbury's Fahrenheit 451 when we were kids. They're burning the books. Now we get all this censorship and cancel culture. So, you know, can God speak prophetically through a fictional book? You know, perhaps.
Yeah, no, I definitely think, well, I think God can do anything he wants to do. So, when you draw the parallels between Fahrenheit 451, 1984, I mean, I can look at those books and say that there's the authors like Orwell, they're dystopian futurists and they're able to see the dominoes. They read the tea leaves and they make these projections. And like 1984 is very, very accurate on certain things. But to be able to call not only the names of people who don't exist yet, but also the locations of where the tower is going to be, the castle is going to be, and like the fact that these, you know, the president, and then even like the relation with Pence, and I've even thought about his new running mate Vance, and how just the way that the last names sound are very similar. It kind of strikes me as I feel like there's something afoot, and so if you could maybe talk about the time travel aspect of this, because I think maybe we could kind of go down that little bit of that wormhole because of what happened with Nikola Tesla and his research.
Yeah, so Nikola Tesla is this genius inventor, lived in the late 1800s up to 1943, and if you Google him or you watch a movie about him, there's TV series, that kind of thing. He's considered the architect of the modern world. His ideas led to our modern electrical system, wireless communications, all kinds of different technologies. And he had theories on time travel, as did Albert Einstein. And there's a professor at Princeton wrote a book called Time Travel and Einstein's Universe. And there's been different professors that have written very intriguing books on this topic. So here's the connection. So Tesla's living in New York City. He's sort of destitute at the end of his life, and he's moving from hotel to hotel. You know, he's invented all these amazing things over his life, but his technology has been suppressed. You know, like zero point energy, perhaps, where you can pull energy from other dimensions. It might solve the global energy crisis if this was really developed. But because there's trillions of dollars being spent on oil and gas and electricity, that was all suppressed supposedly. So, anyways. He has like 80 trunks of research that spread among these hotels. And so he dies, I think he's in his 80s. And the FBI, reporters would go interview him. And he'd say, well, I've invented the death ray. And so supposedly what he claimed is if the Nazis attacked us with nuclear weapons with an air force, like we attacked Japan, supposedly this death ray could like vaporize their air force. So there was a national security interest in just what ideas he had. So the FBI asked John Trump, who is President Donald Trump's uncle, a highly respected MIT professor, to go in and look at all of Tesla's documents. And so he took a look at all this stuff, and he came back, and the official report was, I don't think there's really anything of national security interest here. But then all these files went missing. And so I interviewed the author of some books on Tesla, Mark Cipher. He was featured in this recent History Channel special called The Missing Files of Tesla. And the idea is that, did the government, keep a bunch of this research? Have they used this over the decades to develop, top secret weapons, time travel stuff? All kinds of different technologies. And so this History Channel special explores that. And of course, he's Donald Trump's uncle. So, what does Trump know about this? He named his son Barron. Did he read this collection as a kid? I tried to get an interview with him, but I haven't, we haven't landed that yet. So that's sort of the initial background of it.
Did you say you're trying to get an interview with Trump?
Well, actually, we have a great filmmaker. Our literary agent, entertainment attorneys, very well connected in Hollywood. So they want to turn the book into a short mini documentary to be released before the election, and then like a TV series afterwards. So as part of that, we're going to seek an interview with President Trump. But if we land this interview, it'd be very intriguing to see what he says about all this, right? I don't think anybody's ever interviewed on him on it.
No, I think that'd be fantastic. I mean, I would like to say I have a hard time believing he'd sit down and do an interview about this, but at the same time, like, I'd have a hard time saying a lot of things that have happened. So I really don't know. I mean, imagine sitting down with him and he's like, I knew that you were going to ask to sit down and talk to me. And I have planned for this moment. This is where I release my whole plan. This is, and he just dumps it on you. Yes, I am a time traveler. That'd be insane.
It'd be mind blowing.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, so with Tesla and his research, I mean, obviously he's been a very well respected mind throughout history. Do you think that there is a possibility that there was real time travel information that his uncle recovered?
Well, I mean, here's another intriguing thing. So we've had all these congressional hearings, you know, military people, all kinds of people saying they see these UFOs and UAPs. And, you know, we've all read that in the news lately. So the Sun, Britain's largest newspaper, filed a Freedom of Information Act request for the federal government several years ago, requested all the documents connected to this. And so the Defense Intelligence Agency came back here recently and released a bunch of documents to the Sun. And these documents said that, you know, supposedly that the government believes time travel is possible. And that may explain how these UAPs are getting here. They're coming through wormholes, quantum physics, you know, some kind of, you know, anti-gravity technology. So all these documents released, the Sun, you know, obtained, you know, talk about this stuff. So what kind of technology does our government have? My first co-author, Paul McGuire, I used to be the host of the nationally syndicated Paul McGuire show, the Fox News, CNN, History Channel commentator. He's done a lot of research on this. And I interviewed him for the Trump Code book. And he said that he believes governments around the world may have some kind of primitive time travel technologies. Maybe there's some kind of technology where they can sort of peer into the future, maybe take a picture or something like that. We're just not sure. But they've definitely done research in this area. And there's been books by, you know, highly respected professors that have delved into this. And, you know, Einstein believed it was possible and Tesla. So it's very intriguing.
It's very intriguing. And on the surface, people maybe not so much anymore. I mean, people who listen to my show are very familiar with these kind of topics. But, you know, just go back 12, 15 years ago, you talk about this kind of stuff and you're like, you're a whack job, you know? But I mean, I just literally, I think, you know, 2 weeks ago, I sat and talked with a man who was, he was one of the main people in our government when the government was experimenting with remote viewing. And he talks very openly about it now because the papers have been declassified and he can. And he had no choice really because his name started showing up in news reports when they declassified things. So he had to kind of start talking about it. But I mean, the idea of this kind of stuff happening is not a stretch. And I definitely think that one of my thoughts with bouncing off what you shared here with the time travel is it possible that, you know, not going back. I mean, I think that's probably a little bit harder to do, but peering into the future, whether it's peering into the future or accelerating yourself somehow to get into the future a little bit, is there a way for you then to pause and let the past, I guess, catch up to you into the future? And I think about these things with what's coming out with our government, and you mentioned about UAPs and the technology. I mean, like, clearly they have information. Clearly, I mean, of course, they're trying to reverse engineer anything they can. It's just a very, very interesting thing. When it comes to these topics you're talking about in the book, though, when it comes to his family, is there any kind of connection that you found with like esoteric knowledge when it comes to the family and like the time travel and things like that?
Well, in our second book, Trumpocalypse, we explored, you know, is he connected to some kind of secret society and, you know, esoteric knowledge, that kind of thing. The only thing, I mean, there's been tons of stuff on the internet about this, but the only thing we could find is that he was, his pastor, when he was young, was Norman Vincent Peale. He was the author of The Art of Positive Thinking, that amazing book that was written, I think, back in the 60s or 70s. And he was a 32nd degree Freemason. So that's, you know, that's the only connection we could find. There's tons of stuff on the internet claiming all kinds of things, but that was the only thing we could find. I don't know if he has any connection. You know, in my books, we do talk about how these, you know, secret societies and these occult groups are, you know, heavily involved in globalism and, you know, sort of the, you know, connections to these different groups pushing this new world system kind of thing. And so, I mean, Trump has been, you know, opposed to this. And this seems to be the reason why media all-out attack on him last few years. He's sort of standing in the way of their great reset plan, the United Nations Agenda 2030 and that kind of thing. And so it seems unlikely that, you know, he is, but we just don't know. And if I do get an interview with him, it'd be an interesting question to ask too.
Yeah, it would be absolutely interesting. I mean, I've seen him doing interviews recently on X, like on the spaces on X, with people that I've never heard of before. So I wouldn't say it's out of the realm of possibility when it comes to sitting down and having that conversation. Now, in the book, I believe you talk about the recent assassination attempt, not 2 days ago, the first one. Now, did you have to, let me put it this way, when it comes to the assassination attempt, what are your views on it and how does it play into what you covered in the book?
Yeah, so I was finishing up writing the Trump Code, and then, you know, the attempted assassination in Butler, Pennsylvania, the first one occurred. And, you know, as everybody knows, he turned his head just at the right second and the bullet clipped his ear. And, you know, he later attributed, you know, to God to saving his life. And so that's something I've explored in, you know, in the Trumpocalypse and now the Trump Code. It just seems like, you know, they throw everything they possibly can at him, you know, the lawfare, the impeachments, the Russiagate, I mean, scandal after scandal, supposed things, and nothing, you know, nothing sticks. And so, you know, it just seems like God has some kind of destiny for him, some kind of plan for him. I remember Kim Clement, the prophetic guy, had predicted that Trump would have 2 terms. And, you know, so we also asked the question in the Trump Code, did Ingersoll Lockwood, essentially, with this last president, is he somehow predicting that Trump's going to win here in November and, you know, win this election? There's all kinds of chaos that unfolds. So these are all questions we explore in the Trump Code and you know, delve into all these intriguing questions.
Do you think that if, because I mean, it does seem that Trump is rather bold with how he operates and almost as if he does know certain things. Now you kind of we've hit on the idea of the research and the time travel, and then there's this other aspect of, you know, how he attributes, you know, God to saving his life on that first attempt. Do you think that there is some kind of connection between the first and the latter here, where it's like there's God, but there's also this time travel thing? Do you think that there's any way that those two connect and are operating together in some way?
Well, I mean, we know from the Bible that, you know, God's outside of time and space. And so he's not here in time with us. He sees from, you know, the Bible talks that God sees from the end, from the beginning. So he's outside of time and space. And then there's all these guys in the Bible, these prophets, you know, from Enoch to Moses to Jeremiah, Isaiah, you know, all the way up to the Apostle John. And about a third of the Bible is prophetic in nature. In other words, it's you know, essentially predictions of future events. And Bible, you know, I've investigated this for 15 years now, and, you know, Bible scholars essentially say about 2,000 of the Bible's 2,500 prophecies have come true in exacting detail, including, you know, many prophecies about Jesus' first coming, and then we're sort of seeing potentially a fulfillment of, you know, prophecies about his second coming in different stages. And so how did God show the prophets the future? But it seems like most cases it's dreams, it's visions, but there is this several interesting stories in the Bible. If you think about Philip in the New Testament, he's in one place and one location. All of a sudden, he pops over somewhere else. You know, is that some kind of time travel kind of thing? And then you have the Mountain Transfiguration. You know, Jesus is there. He's shining with the glory of God. And Moses and Elijah join him, and they're also shining with the glory of God. And if you think back in Exodus, when Moses was on Mount Sinai getting the Ten Commandments, and he came down off the mountain, he was shining with the glory of God so brightly they had to put a veil on his face. And it's sort of a similar story with Elijah in the cave. And so did Jesus bring Moses and Elijah from the past to the Mount of Transfiguration, or did they come from heaven? We just don't know, but we talk about that in the book. And then there's like 7 cases of like, you know, Enoch walked with God and then he was taken. And, you know, the Apostle John was shown the future. Was that a form of time travel? Gary Sturman, the I think he's editor of Prophecy Watchers Ministry. He actually wrote a book called Time Travelers of the Bible and sort of talks about this topic in great depth. So how exactly does this work? We don't know for sure, but you know, the Bible seems a hint at this. At the very least, you know, God does show people the future.
So when it comes to this idea of time travel and the Bible, have you gotten pushback at all on this idea when it comes to you know, Christians and, you know, having to try to wrap their mind around such an idea?
I had a post on Twitter. We have a newsletter called Prophecy Investigators. And I think the headline I came up with, like, had a picture of the book and it said Revival or Judgment, Great Awakening or Great Reset was the headline. Then it had like a synopsis of the book and I boosted it a few times and it's now gotten 1.9 million views. And so we had a whole bunch of pushback on that, you know, Twitter post, people sort of, you know, scoffing at, you know, time travel, that's just ridiculous, you know, and, you know, those kind of things. So that's the thing. But for some reason, that tweet went viral and reached 1.9 million people. So people seem to be intrigued by this.
Yeah, I mean, at least the topic's intriguing enough for people to click on it and think about it and ponder it, which is always a good thing. I feel like, you know, as we move forward into this weird future we're living in, I think that anybody who is actually at least paying attention to what's going on around them, they can't really scoff at this idea of time travel as much as they might have in the past, because of the fact that, you know, the last 7-8 years, the people who are probably scoffing at it are probably people who just eat up whatever the government's telling them. But the government's now telling you that there's UAPs and that there are things in the skies we can't identify. And so at some point, any rational thinking person has to stop scoffing at such ideas and just kind of like ponder what is possible. You know, I've kind of had to cross similar paths and stuff throughout my career doing these things and stuff and being a Christian. It's funny the different mindsets you have with people and your interactions. Now, you mentioned two other things. I'm not sure if the book really focuses a whole lot on this, but you mentioned about Tesla's technology that he said that he invented or that he had the ability to invent, the zero point energy, the death ray. But when you talk about zero point energy, are we talking about like this is like free energy?
Yeah, so this the idea of this is that supposedly Tesla had ideas that we could pull energy from other dimensions. You know, the physicists now tell us they believe there's at least 10 dimensions. And so I don't know if this, you know, technology, you know, is true or exists, but there's been a lot of talk about this. And you know, as you recall, you know, the FBI went to President Trump's, you know, Mar-a-Lago estate seeking all these files. And so if his family did have files, could that be some of the files that they were interested in? We don't know. But, you know, it's just it's intriguing. And then Elon Musk is now, you know, supporting President Trump. And, you know, he created the company Tesla. And so who knows what's going on behind the scenes? But there's, you know, it seems, you know, very interesting.
Yeah, it's very interesting. There's a lot of similarities and things that make you scratch your head and you're like, is that just a coincidence or is that really something going on here? Even to the words that are being used, is it being done on purpose? So, Mr. Anderson, where can people get this book? It is now available today, September 17th. Where can they get it?
Yeah, it's available on Amazon and Barnes & Noble and, you know, Books A Million. Pretty much anywhere books are sold. You can go to my website, TroyAnderson.us. It has links to all seven of my books. And we've got a couple of newsletters. They're free. You can contribute if you want, but they're free. It's prophecyinvestigators.com and revelationwatchers.com and battlereadyministries.org.
Awesome. Well, I encourage everybody to check it out. And the links will be in the description for this broadcast. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Great honor.
All right. That is my interview that I did yesterday with Troy Anderson the day his book dropped. If you want to go ahead, check it out. Refresh your pages because while you guys were listening to that, I updated the description on Rumble, YouTube, and Facebook. And so the link for his book is now available. In the chat, we have Num says, Tony, look into Ashton Forbes. Num, I broke Ashton Forbes. I was the first person to bring him on the on their platform. I flew him into the studio, and when he came on the show, he blew up. And so we know all about Ashton and his orbs, UFOs, and Malaysian missing Malaysian flight. And now he is looking into free energy. And so he's been doing a lot of, he's been given some information on the possibility of us having free energy. And he's been really going to town on that. So yes, Ashton Forbes, friend of the show. In fact, for a long while, his profile picture on X was a screenshot of him sitting in our studio doing that interview. So yes, Ashton Forbes, good guy, friend of the show. Thank you very much for listening, my friends. So what do you guys think about the time travel aspect? I apologize if this episode was not bringing the alacrity that you come to have expect, but I am just terribly having a hard time waking up. So I really apologize for that. I will not take NyQuil ever again. I felt it yesterday when I was doing that interview with Troy, and today I am feeling it worse, but maybe that's because I took two doses last night when I went to bed. So yes, time travel is possible, theoretically, and you can do it too. All you got to do is get yourself a time travel machine and you can go anywhere you want. Where would you go? Think about it, friends. Think about it, because the future is going to be much stranger than what today is. Just like we never thought that the government would come out talking about UFOs and things like that and interdimensional beings, yet here they are talking about such things. So to say that time travel is impossible and it is not going to ever come out as a possibility, I'm well beyond saying that. I'm well beyond saying that. The things that we talk about can be on the strange side of things. And some people are like, that's impossible. That's ridiculous. How could you have that person on? How could you talk about this? Well, I've been proven wrong many times. And so nothing is impossible to me. Even Diddy. People were saying years ago that Diddy was, the accusations against P. Diddy and his human trafficking. That's ridiculous. Well, now the man is being denied bail because it's that ridiculous. So I tweeted out or X'd out, posted, I guess. I posted on my X a repost of a man that was in 2018, he was arrested for shooting up Trump's National Golf Club, Doral, National Doral, D-O-R-A-L, Golf Club. He was taken into custody by the police. And during his interview, he talks about how he is a sex slave for P. Diddy, Sean Diddy Combs. And back then, people were like, that's ridiculous. Now they're like, oh, I believe it. So is time travel ridiculous? Today, maybe. Tomorrow, probably not. All right, friends, it's been real. We're going to come back with you guys next week on Wednesday next week. Let me just look at my schedule real quick here. I think I did that last week with you, and I'll do it again this week just to kind of give you a heads up what I'm looking at here. But I'm pretty sure we'll be able to pull something off next week. What are we at here? I'm on the wrong schedule. Okay, so next week, I'm supposed to be having my eye cut open at 9:00 in the morning. I'm going to try to be here. I might cancel that because I'm scared. I'm going to be honest with you. I might cancel that because I'm scared. I have this bump on my eye and I want them to remove it, but I'm also scared to have it cut off. So we'll see how I feel. If I go through with the cutting, I might not be here. If I cancel and act like a coward, I'll probably be here doing a show with you guys. What are we going to talk about? I don't know. We'll figure it out. Whether you guys want to offer some topics of conversation for next week, or I sit around looking through, like I do some doom scrolling on Instagram till a thought hits me and voila, a show. Either way, friends, I will definitely be here next week. Will you? Time will tell. All right, guys, I'll talk to you. Bye.
Wake up, it's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Weird Wednesday, wake up, start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright. It's Wednesday, feel the morning light. The world's a bit different, something feels just right. Coffee's brewing strong and the day's brand new. Weird Wednesday, wake up, here's a song for you. From the dawn's early rise to the evening's glow, we dance to the rhythm, let the good times flow. In the heart of the country where the wild winds blow, Weird Wednesday, wake up, let your spirit show. Start your day with a smile. Strum that banjo softly, let's enjoy for a while. Embrace the morning, let your heart take flight. Weird Wednesday, wake up, everything's alright.